Nah, that was trash. That was trash. Round of applause.
Y'all don't understand what's happening here. So we gonna need y'all attention, y'all undivided attention, to give it up for these panelists on this panel. It's not easy. It's not easy sitting here talking in front of a crowd, especially if you got shit going on upstairs.
I'm wearing uncomfortable shoes.
I'ma pass the mic over to the host. We gonna be attentive. We're gonna be attentive, we're gonna pay attention, we're gonna ask questions, we're gonna support each other, because at the end of the day, we all we got in black wrestling.
I don't know how I can follow up with that, but.
You got this.
But I wanna thank everyone for coming out. Just a little background story of why this is actually happening. I went to Comic-Con for the first time. Don't judge. And
finally.
It's not my thing, but. There was an amazing panel, of course, with my sister Faye and others that discussed issues in black wrestling, that talked about the culture in wrestling. So I sat back and I said, yeah, we need to keep doing this. This is something that is important to all of us, especially those that do podcasting. So shout out to all the podcasters in the building. I always joke with the boys. This is probably the longest relationship I've ever had is this podcast. So there you go. Well, this is personal. We family. This is all family in the building. So we got to be able to understand. So each individual that you see here plays an important part in wrestling, in our culture. And I wanted to showcase them, especially. I can't even talk about all these individuals. Like, just all of them together. Give them a round of applause. There's so much rich information that they're going to drop tonight. And also, too, you guys are going to get a chance to ask them questions as well towards the end. So just keep in mind. But I am going to let the best referee in this business introduce himself, and then everybody else can follow suit. So please let everybody know who you are, what is your importance to wrestling, and what's your favorite era in wrestling? Everyone always goes favorite wrestler and all that. What's your favorite era? Because that's different. So, all right, go ahead.
In other words, give yourself an intro. Okay, that's good, that's good. What's popping, everybody? I'm Nick Shin. I'm like the only black ref in like pretty much Jersey and New York. There's other ones, but like there's like two others out there, but it's me. You know what it is. So a little bit about myself. I've been reffing for like 6-7 years now. I was a wrestler too, but then I was like, nah, reffing's way more lit and shit. I don't have to bump, so I like that. Leave that to y'all peoples. Other than that, I really just love this reffing shit because it's like I can really show people like black people can be refs. We can actually be the ones who got the authority in the match. Like, there's so many times where people is literally beating people up, and I'm like, I feel like saving your life today. Yo, son, back off from him. He really dying. It's a difference when you realize you could actually do what you want to do no matter what part you're at. And being a ref, I realized I could do what the hell I want to do and be black at it.
Love it.
And my favorite era is like the early 80s and 70s and shit, just because I really enjoyed the older aspect where the refs were really the people in charge, and I can learn so much more than the new dudes who just like have just stuff being thrown in their ears all day. But now we on to the amazing, the great, the beautiful, the sexy, my loving, you know what it is, it's Billy Dixon, it's Billy, it's the man, is this straight Bill or is this Billy, it's straight Bill. Oh, my man, Straight Bill and Billy!
All right, what's poppin', everybody? My name is Billy Dixon, born and raised in the South Bronx, Claremont Projects, off of Webster Avenue. You already know. And I am a professional wrestler. I've been wrestling since 2015. I am the current reigning and defending Chocolate City champion. Yeah. out of the Fight Club promotion, which is a black-owned wrestling promotion out of Washington, D.C. And according to professional wrestling history, this is actually, its nickname is the Afro-Continental Champion, which if you remember, the Intercontinental Championship back in the day, that meant that the Intercontinental Champion was the number one contender for the world title, which by those rules, I am the number one contender for Trisha Dora's World Heavyweight Championship. The Pan-African World Diaspora Wrestling Championship, the People's Championship, our championship. And in addition to wrestling every weekend, I also am the owner and promoter of Pro Wrestling Vibe, formerly known as Butch vs. Gore Wrestling, and Paris is Bumping. And I'm here to represent for the gay niggas, so that's what it is. My favorite era of wrestling is 1990s Japanese women's wrestling. Manami Toyota, Aja Kong, Akira Hokuto, you know, they was hitting harder than the dudes, so that's my favorite. They went hard. All right.
Next.
Yeah. What's up, everybody? My name is Pete Rosado. I am a promoter, a booker, a commentator. I've done it all. I've been in the wrestling business since 2012. I started as literally a pre and post show interviewer for free for promotions here in New York. I got my start at a company called FWE, Family Wrestling Entertainment. Started there, then I went into literally paying front row tickets to take pictures with a point and click camera. And then got my commentary break working for Five Borough Wrestling in Brooklyn, New York. And then from there, around 2015, 2016, I started working, doing commentary for a company called Bree Combination Wrestling, and did commentary there, called every show for their first 4 years of existence, and eventually became one of the co-bookers there doing talent relations. I started the Queen of the North series. So the first two shows were booked by myself and AJ Pan, who also gave me my start in this business. And recently, as of August of this year, I started my own promotion called We Are Wrestling. Our first show was in August called Wanna Be Starting Something, and our next show, Cheap Plug, will be December the 10th in Ridgefield Park called It Was All a Dream. But commentary is my main thing. I will literally go anywhere to do commentary before I promote and book. Like, I just love being on the mic and calling matches. I actually just called the show tonight, Invictus Pro Wrestling, which was incredible. Yeah, Nick was reffing on that show, which was great. Trish was there. I'll tell her you coming for her. So don't worry about it. And I just love it. And in terms of my favorite era in pro wrestling, I honestly have to say that switch time between NWA and WCW was kind of my biggest era, and late NWA, you know, the anything where, you know, Rick was still on top, that early WCW days, early WWF, even though it was still kind of cartoony, was kind of where I grew up on it, but, yeah, sorry, but it is what it was. Anytime where storylines and storytelling was at the forefront of professional wrestling is where I will always be hooked. So that's for me. Thank you very much for having me. And also, cheap plug, I represent the Your Sports Show podcast. One-fourth of the greatest team in sports podcasting. Prove me wrong.
All right, next.
Well, good evening. Buenas noches. ¿Qué la que hay? Mi nombre es Isa.
Oh. Out here bilingual.
Señor Palante!
All in one sentence. What's going on, guys? You guys might know me on Twitter as NYC Demon Diva, and I am a professional wrestling reactor, I think. In addition to that, I also work for Wrestling Inc. podcast, covering a couple of the WWE and AEW shows. Yeah, you guys can find me on YouTube reacting to crazy moments in professional wrestling and also covering professional wrestling in a more professional manner over there at Wrestling Inc. And to mix it up a little bit, my favorite era is anything going on past 2015 on, because we are seeing more diversity. We are seeing people we're treated the right way. We are seeing women main eventing WrestleMania, things that some of us thought would never happen. So this is my favorite era of professional wrestling.
So I'm Queen PR, one half of those wrestling girls, and I have to shout out my co-host, Crystal Yay! P. Yes. Thank you. So we're actually celebrating our 3-year anniversary tonight. So I'm very, very proud of that. And we started those wrestling girls because we were inspired by the women in WWE from like 2015 to like 2019. So I guess that's our favorite era besides the Attitude Era. Yeah, that part. And we started our show because we didn't see black girls doing it. So we fucking did it. We still doing it.
Last but certainly not least.
Yo, where my niggas at? Where my niggas at? My niggas in here. My niggas not in here. Where my niggas at? No, I'm just kidding. I'm Cal, at Cal on Twitter. You may know me from the Black Wrestling Podcast. I mean, we're not celebrating 3 years right now, but in about January, February, it'd be about 5 years since we've been doing our thing. Go run the archives. I think I'm here because I'm a writer. I guess some people call me a journalist. I work at Complex Network. Shout out.
Yeah!
Just the other day, I posted my interview with Liv Morgan. But, like, you know, when we talk about...
We're not dropping stuff.
Look. All right, we got referees. We got whole number one contenders.
Oh, absolutely.
Who coming at me for no reason up early. Before, we ain't going to talk about that. We gonna book that. You in the background. You wasn't even there. And he gonna capture you the whole time. You wasn't listening. Anyway. Bobby Lashley, Bianca Belair. You know, who your favorite? You know, these are the people I talk to: the Goldbergs, the John Cena's, all that. But you know, it's really about making sure that our voice is out there. You know, it's cool to have a conversation with a WWE person about what's happening next week. But you know, when I could talk to Bianca Belair about, yo, you were really the first black woman to win that Royal Rumble. You know what I mean? You was really able to then go and do that at WrestleMania and get that ESPY and get that real response. Like, we don't hear that a lot from some of these other outlets. So that's my job. Again, no disrespect to the amazing shit that everybody does up here, but at a certain point, we got to make sure that we're heard with them. You feel what I'm saying? That's what we're doing. So anyway. That's
so it. With that ending, that actually is a great transition into my first question for the table. When you hear,
hold on, can you?
Yeah, who
introduce
you?
Yourself for
who
everybody
you?
In attendance today.
No. I'll just do it real quick. So as everyone knows, I'm Janelle from the HR of the Job is Here podcast.
Yeah!
Along with my brother Sir Wilkins and Mr. Black, we have an amazing network of other podcasts that we do have under our umbrella, such as Your Sports, Sasson Talk, and many, many other more. I'm so proud of us because there's a lot of people in this building that supported Jobber Slam this past July. And it wouldn't have happened without you guys. So really, thank you so much for that. I was asked a billion-dollar question at that show. And then 2 months later, I accepted the offer. So you guys are looking at one of the co-owners of Battle Club Pro.
Yeah.
And to be honest, the only reason I accepted it was because of you guys. Every single person of color. Because we don't do enough for each other, so we have to do it for each other. But thank you. It's not about me. That's why I didn't want to introduce myself. But to the table, question. When you hear representation matters, what does that look and mean to you? And I'm going to start with the fabulous Billy Dixon to start off. When you hear representation matters, how does that look for you and what does that mean to you?
Getting paid. So representation is a really like, I feel like it's a loaded word now, you know? It means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. I think representation is that anybody can have the opportunity to be in a money-making position. You know, it doesn't matter who you are or whatever, all that kind of stuff. It means that you are given a fair shot to be able to rise through the ranks of whatever wrestling promotion you're working for or whatever position. You know, let's say you're a wrestler, you're a referee, you're a manager, or you're a writer for a major company or anything like that. It means also, I think, going forward, as I get older and as I'm seeing it now, is the opportunity to inspire future generations. Speaking of Bianca Belair, there was a really good video that came out a couple months ago from like some like taping or whatever, where she was working Becky Lynch, and there was this young black girl that was dressed with her with the ponytail, you know? And representation means that like my generation is the last generation that goes, there isn't anybody that looks like me on television. You know, now young black girls have so many different kinds of black women to aspire to be like. You know, you could be an Ember Moon, a Bianca, a Sasha. You know, it's not stereotypes as ghetto or bougie or any sort of like charging words like that. It's, you could be anything. I mean, we had a black woman werewolf on television. That was crazy. So that's what that means to me.
Anyone else on the panel want to discuss what representation means to you and what does it look like?
I think for Krista B and I, because when we first started, we didn't think there were other black women that like covered wrestling the same way that we did. And we even meet people now where they're like, I didn't know black girls like wrestling. And we're like, really?
All the time. Oh, right. All the time.
And the fact that we were able to discover like jobber tiers and these events and seeing like this is a whole room of like black and brown people that love wrestling. And like, we get used to it because we come here all the time, but like this is fucking special. And the fact that we all were able to come together means everything. Everything.
Shout out to Bone Saw in the building that just walked in.
You know, representation means, honestly to me, it means elevating, right? You know, I grew up a light-skinned Puerto Rican kid in the Bronx. You know, me and my moms, for the most part, when we moved into the South Bronx, people looked at us and they were like, oh, these two white people moving into the Bronx. And it wasn't until somebody was like talking about my moms in Spanish that she turned around and cursed them out in Spanish. They were like, oh, hold up, right? The first time I saw a Puerto Rican flag at a wrestling show was when Savio Vega came out as Los Boricuas, right? Right? And it's like, yo, that's dope. Like, that flag is in my house. That flag is on my wall. And now that flag is on TV. Right? And so when we look at that, whether you're a person of color, whether you're a person of a different ethnic background, whether you're a person of a different sexual orientation, whatever, it means being able to turn around when you have people like myself, people like Billy, people like Nick, people like everybody on this panel that can turn around and say, you know what? We now have the opportunity to give the platform to those who aren't getting it anywhere else, right? You know, one of my goals is I'm eventually going to leave New York, and I'm taking We Are Wrestling with me down south. And one of the funny things about it is when I go down south, you know what I don't see? I don't see women's wrestling. And I don't see women's wrestling taken seriously. And one of the biggest things I want to do is take women's wrestling down south, right? Because you know what? It sucks that one of the best women wrestlers that I get to work with on a regular basis in Savannah Evans has to has to almost all the time at her main home promotion only work dudes. And while that's great, why is it that we can't get women down there? Because it's not like there's not other women wrestlers. Trisha Dora's in the DMV. Jordan Blade's in the DMV. You telling me you can't get them to drive a state and a half to go show up in North Carolina and wrestle Savannah Evans? You telling me you can't get the girls out in Florida to come up to North Carolina and wrestle Savannah Evans? You telling me Billy Dixon can't make money in North Carolina? You telling me all these people can't make money out there? No, they can't. And so representation is being able to say, we have a platform, and now it's our turn to turn around and elevate it. Because just because there are three Latino promoters in New York, Janelle, Joaquim, and myself. That's it. My first show, the main event, was Darius Carter and Trisha Dora. Two of the best wrestlers on the scene. There were, when we talk about representation of women's wrestling, it's not just having a women's match on your show. It's not just, oh, we'll have one women's show a year or in like a decade. Evolution. Right? It's, you know what? Women are proliferated throughout the card. In women's matches, fighting men, in scramble matches. They hold their own everywhere. It's giving the platform to those people and to everybody and helping those new generations, giving them the inspirations and giving those younger wrestlers the opportunities, those younger referees, those younger commentators the opportunities to be like, yo, we got something that we can do and we can kill it.
All right, next question. I'm going to start off with my favorite referee, Nick Shin. Have you ever experienced racism in the industry? And how did you handle that situation? I wanted to bring this up because, once again, we always talk about black excellence. We talk about black representation. But we don't get to talk about the dirty shit. So I wanted to get a more in-depth understanding of other people's experiences and how they overcame that. Because that's the important part. The important part is not really what happened. It's how we move forward and how we make sure that shit doesn't happen again. So I'm going to start off with my good friend Nick. Have you experienced racism in this wrestling industry? And how did you overcome it?
So, see how Billy just sat on you. It's okay. I'm not going to say nothing. I'm a good boy today. So, racism is real, yo. Yep. Like, dead ass. Like, it's, let's just say racism is real. So, being in the position of a referee, it puts you in a lot of different spots where the bosses really aren't in control of you. It puts you in places where you have the other people who are put in control of the referees. You have senior officials, you have people who want to over-abuse power, people who don't want to give out money, people who consistently want drama for people just because they might be black and they might look at them as less than, or they might not believe, oh, everybody wants to work with them because they're the black guy. It happens a lot in wrestling. You go to different spots, sometimes I'm the only black person in an entire locker room. I could feel a difference. I used to work for a spot in South Jersey. I don't work there anymore because they were going online bashing another promoter, going back and forth on who called who nigga the most. Wow. I was like, what is wrong with you crackers? I'm not working for anybody. You set yourself up in these situations, but the problem and the great thing about wrestling is it puts you in these spots where you have to be around these racist people and you learn how to interact with them. I've been through it the good way and I've been through it the bad way. I've been through it the way where people gotta hold me back because I'm threatening to kill somebody, well, promising to kill somebody because I was gonna do it, but it's a whole different situation. But then you get put in those situations where you're just like, all right, I gotta accept this, and instead, I gotta be the man who's gonna show them that, nah, fuck this. You put a nigga in this position, we gonna be the best motherfucker out there. It's true.
Talk to him.
There's a reason we was the ones who was the slaves. We the ones who know how to put in the damn work. What we do when we go into this wrestling position and we go into these wrestling spots, we show everybody we're the people who can do this work
And we don't give a fuck what any of you think. We don't care about your racism. We don't care about the ways you are. Because at the end of the day, no matter what continent, what country, it doesn't matter. You don't need to understand the language. Wrestling is universal. If you like somebody, you're not going to say, oh, I like him because he's black. I'm going to like him because he just did a 620 off the top rope and that shit looked amazing.
And he's so epic.
If he orange and purple, I'm going to like that dude too. But that's what wrestling does to you. It lets you see exactly what you want to see past the racism. It's there. But if you look past it and smack a couple racists around along the way, this shit works for you.
Billy. Do you have an experience you would love to share with us?
Is water wet? So you would find it to be interesting that a black person would have a hard time navigating an industry that's largely run by white men, you know? So I would say in my experience, my racism that I dealt with is a lot in microaggressions. So a lot of it is, oh, you're very educated. You're very eloquent. The racism is, oh, you're not like the other black workers. Well, I don't know what that means, because, shit. And I think wrestling creates a system in where some people of color or any marginalized community, when you get those compliments like you're not like the others, you get this superiority complex, which is why we have Hall of Famers going on interviews embarrassing themselves all the time.
Right.
Can you dig that, sucker? But the racism that I would say that I dealt with is a lot of subtle comparison and starting to pick fights with other black wrestlers. So it'll be like, oh, well, you're not as expensive as this person, and then telling me somebody's information. That's none of my business. That's their business to deal with a promoter. Or someone explaining to me you have very surprisingly professional looking gear, or you have a very good social media. And it's not a compliment, it's backhanded, because you're comparing me to other people. You know, some people just don't like tweeting, don't like posting, you know, they just put the little graphic out, I'ma be here, what's good. Some people like me, I'm a troll. I like to stir it up, you know? But like, you know, I think that for what it's turning into now is a lot of, with some of these like fake woke places, it's kind of trying to make me or another person of color the instigator. It's kind of like, if I get angry first, then I'm the bad guy automatically, right? So it's like, I won't name names or whatever, but like a woke promotion underpays me in comparison to the other top LGBT wrestlers, right? By a significant margin. And when I found out about it, you know, I get a lot of excuses. But my thing is, if I'm on a show and it happens to be where I'm from, then why am I getting a third of what white LGBT people are making when it's my house, you know? So that's kind of...
And black wrestlers draw.
Very much so. Amen. Very much so.
Just gonna put that on the table, but go ahead.
Right, so it happens across the board. I think now it's a lot more subtle because it's not like the 70s where you could call somebody, you know, the N-word with a hard R and get away with it. You know, you gotta be a lot more clever now. But that's kind of my experience.
All right, so next question to the table, and it's gonna be for anyone. What do you believe currently is the biggest challenge in the wrestling community? Go ahead, go, oh. Black wrestling is on the clock.
Well, what I'm, like, I think a lot of the stuff that's going on here is people don't understand.
Wait, hold on, Cal. Listen, I know you guys want to party. I know want to talk.
Hey,
I know you guys
up.
Want to network, but just give me 20 more minutes of your time so you can hear the gems that they're going to drop. Just give me 20 more minutes. You can put me on the clock if you want, but I just ask that you please respect those that are on the panel because they took the time to come and speak on my behalf. So please, use your indoor voices, I used to be a teacher, so if I clap once, shut it up. All right, Cal. Biggest challenge in wrestling community, go.
In the community, I think people don't understand us. You know, I think a lot of the situations is, because you can see, again, certain promotions, when the New Day is doing well, a lot of the time it's because they got a black guy that understands the culture, understands what's going on with them, and can give them promos and give them work that the fans will appreciate. A lot of the time, even if you put, because I think the question earlier someone said about, you know, what does representation mean to you? Because a lot of the time for them, representation is a check mark in a box, you know? Oh, we had a gay person on the show. Oh, we had a black person on the card. But then when you look at the main event, you don't see anybody that looked like us on there, and we're not for any titles. Like, you can see why the demographic is what it is when the ratings come back. They're playing to who they're playing to who they're trying to service. But if it was really about diversity, if it was really about getting everybody included, you would have more people like us in the writer's room, in creative, to say, hey, a black person might not say that, or a black person might not walk to the ring to this fucking music, and really try to make representation key, because it's really about stepping out as yourself and people receiving that and understanding that. And if you're walking out and they don't know what the fuck you're doing to begin with, you already lost. It's sad, and you're on TV with that shit.
All right, co-host of the event, Patricia, what you got to say?
It's funny, because...
Did I not tell y'all? Because I'm ignorant. Y'all can take pictures quietly. Go ahead.
So I think one of the biggest issues is getting past the, like, oh, you're two black girls doing a wrestling podcast. Like, yes, that exists. Like, let's move on kind of thing. And not it always being a thing. And I think, Cal, like, you're so right with, if you don't have anyone that is back there that looks like you, we already lost, because they already, their perception of us is so different. And then one thing that we talked about on the panel at Comic-Con was the power of the black dollar. A lot of wrestling promotions don't think that we fucking draw. And, like, look how many fucking brown people are in this room spending money. So I think that's what
I will say that, and it's not to toot our horn, Jabba Sand definitely had over 200 people in Brooklyn, live and in color. Let me just cheap plug that.
100%, and that card from top to bottom was 95% black. The crowd was 90% black. So, like, just making sure that people understand that we come out, we spend money, and representation is important. And I just want to note from the previous question, the first time I experienced blatant racism was in the wrestling industry. So, which was very, very weird, because we've only been doing this for 3 years, and we did a live, and someone came in that had been following us on social media for years, and just flooded the comments with the N-word, hard R. So it's like, so people are just waiting for that opportunity. Like, no matter what you do, no matter how diverse your audience is, like, they're out there and they're just waiting for that window. So just, right, exactly. So just making sure that we're representing at our highest level, because we have to work that much harder, like, just to be seen just like everybody else. And I think that's another big issue that we gotta fucking overcome.
My lovely Demon Diva, what's the biggest challenge right now in the wrestling community?
I mean, while we're discussing diversity and representation, I think the Hispanic, Latino community has not been represented well enough in professional wrestling, to the point that I flew to Puerto Rico in October just to see a Puerto Rican main event, a WWE show in Puerto Rico, because I will never probably get that opportunity again. To go back to your previous question, yes, I get it all the time. I'm trying to speak professional wrestling, and people ask, Management of Wrestling Inc., why would they hire somebody they can't understand? I'm not going to apologize for knowing two languages. Thank you very much. It's a matter of...
That's more money in your bank, actually, if you learn a second language.
Exactly. But I think the professional wrestling is getting somewhere, and I see it happening with diversity, but it hasn't happened for my people. I was born and raised in Puerto Rico. Seeing Bad Bunny come out of WrestleMania being announced from my hometown was a big fucking deal to me, okay? So I don't care if it was a celebrity. It means something to someone, and people just need to learn to understand that and let the people that means something to have their moment.
Mr. Rosado, biggest challenge right now
I just want to touch on something real quick, because, you know, obviously, if they're not a luchador in a mask, they can't.
They're not Latino on TV,
right?
You don't know how to do it, right?
Right, yeah, because only Latinos only know how to be luchadors in masks, of course, right? But, no, I want to say, and it goes to something that I see a lot, you know, we have to, when we talk about, and I think Billy talked this up about the black dollar, right? We have to start looking at it, and I look at, like, the landscape right now, right? We just seen, like, the last year, these waves of releases from these companies, right? But here's the problem. The show that has the recently released wrestler will have 350 people show up. But the show that has Billy Dixon headlining may not.
And let me, hold on, I don't mean to interrupt you. I don't mean to interrupt you, but let me explain to y'all. Billy Dixon put on a show called Paris is Bumping in Jersey.
Yes.
When I tell you, I was inspired. We waited until the last day to try to get a fucking DJ because I've never seen so organized of a DJ at a wrestling show with the mixture of ballroom. When I tell you this man has a creative mind that no one else does, I don't just say that because he's on this panel and we interviewed him. I say that because I've seen it live and in color. So continue. I just had a cheap
plug.
You know,
when I'm at a show, hold up. When I'm at a show just tonight, right in Jersey, where the last three matches on the card were all black people. Right? The last three matches tonight at Invictus were Darius Carter versus Eel O'Neill. It was Trisha Dora versus Ken Broadway. And it was AJ Gray versus Myron Reed. But when I tell you, they did not have a sold out house. And that bothers me. Because if they would have said, yo, Karrion Kross is rolling up. If they'd have said, yo, somebody from AEW rolling up, everybody and their mama would have rolled up trying to go to that show. And so what I think is one of the biggest issues in our industry is we forget, not everybody, but for a large part, we forget to support when we out here grinding and we out here making it, but we'll support the person that just came off TV, regardless if they have color or not, right? Because the minute they got TV, oh my God, I just saw that person on Raw last week, and now they're going to be on this show because they just got released 30 days later. I'm in there. But why is it that those people who ain't never seen TV yet, who we out here on Twitter talking about, yo, they deserve all the opportunities. They deserve to be everywhere. They deserve to be on TV. But why are you not buying the tickets to go see them when they're in your backyards? Why are you not looking out for them? Why are you not promoting their shows? Why are you not out there pushing them so that they can get the opportunities when Tony Khan and all of them are looking on social media saying, oh, my God, this person's got 5,000 mentions. Oh, my God, look at this show that got two random people of color main eventing, and they've got 350 people in the show. I wonder why. We need people to be in those shows. And, yeah, we need people like we had at Jabba Slam at all the other shows just like that. Because why is it that, because Billy tore his ass apart putting together Paris is Bumping and promoting the hell out of that show. And I would have bought a ticket even knowing that I wasn't going to be there. My ass bought a ticket. I knew I couldn't make it to the show, but you know what? I'm going to give this man my money because his show deserves it, and we need to be out there. We are in the most saturated wrestling territory in the area. There are 3, 4, 5 shows going on any given day, any weekend, and I'm sure we could be there the same way we here. The same way y'all gonna show up to the Barclays Center for Survivor Series, right? We need to be at these shows and not just there.
Billy, real quick, biggest challenge in wrestling right now?
You went off. So to me, I agree with the majority of what you said, but there's actually something I disagree with. I think one of the biggest challenges in wrestling going forward is it's whack. The marketability is just the shits right now. You know, so for example, right, like I'm not putting myself over, but I knew what my demographic was for
my show. I'll put you over.
I knew what my demographic was for my show. So my marketing campaign had to cater to that demographic while at the same time not alienating people that may have had like a morbid curiosity. You know what I'm saying? The problem with mainstream professional wrestling is that, and I'm not trying to get signed so I can talk my shit, AEW is like an inside joke, right? You got to know all this shit before you tune in at 8 o'clock. You can't be a naked eye watching that show and find something you fuck with, because they're referencing things that happened 5, 10 years ago. You know what I'm saying? You know, you watching WWE, and it's just lame. It's lame. God, I can't tell you the last time I watched WWE, but you got just like people just doing dumb shit. And also there was a podcast that I listened to on my drives. And apparently, at a show, somebody made an entrance, and 17 minutes went by before the match started with recap after recap after recap after vignette after this. People get tired of their time being wasted. Wrestling is already kind of a hard sell to a normal person because it's fake, right? So you gotta make it lit. And also, you know, if y'all going to Survivor Series, I'm not gonna hold you. Have fun. Cheer, boo, do what you gotta do. Say hi to Dwayne for me. But if you really trying to see some lit shit, it's really only gonna take place on the independents. And that's because what's happening on the independents is realizing that professional wrestling is a great medium to do hybrid shows. So what you're gonna see in the future is wrestling mixed with completely different genres of entertainment and references in order to draw those crowds that we used to have. Because right now, especially with the skill set of the modern wrestler, we're not at a point where we can have just matches, 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 matches. That's why the best independent wrestling company in the world has so much fuckery going on, because the wrestling fan is gonna get bored by match three. So I just think that wrestling is has transitioned into being part of the show and not the whole show, and I think people haven't caught up to that.
Last but not least, Nick. Before Nick answers the question, I'm gonna take the first two people to come. I don't want to say run because I don't want to stampede, but two people that do want to ask a question, please come up right now because you're gonna ask the last two questions, and then we're gonna wrap. No, you can come stand on the side of me. Come on, I don't bite. All right, Nick, biggest challenge in wrestling right now, and then we're going to have our two questions here, and then we're going to wrap up.
Extremely big zebra energy. Let's see. The biggest challenge, I would think, is the people. Yep. Sometimes y'all really care about stuff, and then like a week later, y'all just don't give a fuck. Like, real trap. Let's say, like, when the whole NWA Empower joint popped off, everybody was putting over, oh, my gosh, I'm so happy for the women. Nobody seemed to mention that there was the first time ever in the NWA they had a black female ref. Yeah. I bet none of y'all even knew that. Did you know that same black female ref worked on the Impact show the next day? What? Never happened ever. Did you know recently, like I think like last week if I'm not mistaken, I don't watch Raw, but the girl Asia did her first ever Raw match. There's never been a black girl ref on Raw. Y'all so happy and so hype about it. When'd y'all talk about it though?
That ass though, he right here, and I can't hear
what
him.
I want it to be is like, I want us all to consistently put over our black people. If we gonna talk, like, sometimes you could look online and just see the girls being like, oh, he's so sexy.
I done asked y'all twice. Done asked y'all twice. I got two more questions, and then y'all can party, hardy, hardy all night.
Nigga.
All right? Two more questions. Peach. I don't want to hear I'm sorry.
Yes.
I just want quiet.
Yeah.
All right, Nick, go ahead and finish up.
Yeah, finish up.
Oh, go
Nick.
Ahead. Take that mic.
That's what I'm talking about, Nick. Oh, I don't even know.
I'm not mad.
Anywho, it's a matter of we got to push for our black people. Everything that we do, we always want to push and be so happy for all the white people out there. Be happy for us. Push us. Literally. We had black wrestling draws. We did that for like two nights. How long did we really push that hashtag? It was like two, three nights worth. Then we did it next week. People was on TV. It was like, oh, we happy now. Yay. We got the niggas on. Yay. Oh, my gosh. Daniel Bryson's back. Fuck, yeah. I want to see him. Keep pushing our black folks. Nobody's going to push us like we going to push us. Nobody cares about us like we care about us. We want to do more, we got to do more for us. If not, it's never going to happen. If we keep yelling and complaining about it, now what happens? We get a bunch of more black people on Raw. We got a black champion for the longest. Oh, yeah. And what happened? The black champion lost and got to another black champion? Oh, shit. I didn't even know that many black niggas was allowed to win belts at once. It's different, yo. If all we're doing is complaining and complaining and complaining, eventually they gonna have no choice but to do something about it. We gotta make that difference. All of us, all the fans, all the podcasts, all the writers, all the whoever, push them black people consistently. Push the Latin people consistently. Push the people of color. If they got some color, they got some melanin, even if they albino and you know that they black, but they albino. If they Michael Jackson, Dwayne. They push them. Push the black people. That's it, because that's what we fucking up at.
That's the fact. All right. Dwayne. So two questions, and then y'all can party, hardy, hardy all night. All right? Say your name and where you from. I'm sorry. That's rude. We family.
Yo, what up? I'm the worldwide star boy, Remy Blue, repping Ringside Society from Georgetown, Guyana. And, I'ma just ask this one time for the mind, one time for the people, one time for the wrestling culture. So I noticed that a certain promotion, I'm not here to bash any promotion, but they have a way of taking our people and making them shucking and jiving and whatnot. However, a certain stable just broke the mold and now 2/3 of their members are now world champions. So what are y'all's thoughts on that, and of course how they market black wrestlers these days, because it seems that if you're black, you gotta come out to hip hop music. You gotta come out like angry. You gotta come out like you're from the hood. Whereas somebody like me, who grew up in the suburbs, I'm not ashamed. I mean, hey, it is what it is, you know. Wouldn't know anything. Wouldn't. Whereas somebody like I that grew up in the suburbs wouldn't know anything about, yo, what it is to be hood and all that stuff. I mean, what are y'all's thoughts on the way they market black wrestlers and the gimmicks that they give them?
Can I quickly answer and say that's why I love the New Day? Because I love them so much because they're not a stereotype. They're themselves and they represent a lot of different type of people, which is why they're the New Day. So I'm sorry, I'm gonna let y'all answer, but I just gotta say that's why I love them so much. And they're unapologetically black while not being what an old white man perceives as black. So that's all I gotta say. And I love Big E.
Don't we all? Okay, continue. Hashtag all the thickums and beers in the room. What do you, okay, so paraphrase and reminding you the questions to the table. What is your opinion or thoughts on how black wrestlers are marketed?
That's actually a really good question. I think that one of the things when you know how the pasta is made is that even given that example of two out of three members becoming world heavyweight champion, we gotta remember that the origin of the gimmick is a lot similar to what his complaint was, which is that it was in line with quote unquote shucking and jiving, right? And I think that the issue with booking black wrestlers is that there is a trial period in which the black wrestler must conform to archaic stereotypes, push through that, get over, sell merchandise to prove that they're a commodity, Once they prove that they're a commodity, then they get creative control. And if you look at New Day in its origin versus the peak for me would be 2016 when they were like coming out the box with the bootios. Holy shit. And also, they are the first black performers to get a special entrance at WrestleMania. But in order to get there, unfortunately, you got to play the game. And play the game means you got to play by their rules, flip it, reverse it. Now, you need me to make money. You need me to show you how to advertise in a modern age, because shout out to Xavier Woods for introducing them to the whole gaming community, you know? But when it comes to booking the black talent, on a mainstream level, because independent is a completely different thing. On a mainstream level, you are going to start out as an archetype. And it is your job, your unfair job, to fight through those chains, break those chains, and then mold yourself in your own image. And is that going to change? Not until we see a nigga with money running their own shit on primetime. And I'ma just say this. That is my goal, is to be able to have a show on BET, TV1, Centric, Stars, HBO, I don't give a fuck. That's when that problem will go away. Or if one of the McMahon's grandchildren sleeps with somebody black and then they get a job.
So, you know what I find funny? And I'm being highly sarcastic, just in case I gotta let anybody know that. Wait, black people play video games? And there are black people in the LGBT community, and there are black people who don't know how to play certain sports that are stereotypically black, and there are black people who don't like hip-hop, and there are black people who like country music, and there are...
I love me some Chris Stapleton. Right. Side note.
Like, let's...
Side note. Went to the concert and all. Continue.
Like... Time out, like, let's just be real though. Shocker, there are black people who never saw Love and Basketball, right? Like, let's be real, right? Here's the problem, right? Like Billy said, we fit people of color into a box. If you're black.
I done already told you, Wolfpack. Go ahead, real quick, so we got one more question, we can wrap up.
If you're black, you must know this or do this or like this or act like this. Things like that. If you're Latino, you must wrestle like this or do that or act like this, right? And the problem is there are no, honestly, the wrestlers themselves, the talent themselves are not given a voice in their own creative process, right? Because Xavier Woods is Xavier Woods because he pushed his ass off to be Xavier Woods. Right, but how many black and Latino and LGBT and otherwise gender performers are not allowed to be their true selves because they don't get a say in their own process? They don't get to put themselves over. They never get a chance to sell themselves because somebody wants to sell who they think they should be. And that's the problem. This is why I honestly give AEW, I'm not backstage, I don't know what goes on there, I don't know what their process is, but my perception of what the process is, they let their wrestlers go out and be themselves. Go sell you. Now, if you don't get over, let's talk. But go out, because I guarantee you, Lee Moriarty would have never been Lee Moriarty had he walked into WWE. He wouldn't have been presented as himself, but he could walk on the AEW and be himself and be accepted or be allowed to not be accepted as himself rather than somebody saying, you don't work on television because what we thought you should be didn't get over.
All right, last question.
My name's Anthony. I'm from Baltimore, visiting New York for the weekend. We're out here, stuff aside. As somebody who does podcasts and interviews wrestlers for their podcasts, what would you say to somebody who's looking to break into the wrestling industry? whether being a podcast or being a wrestler or a commentator, what piece of advice would you give?
You want to take this?
All right, no, I need every single person going to answer this question. One piece of advice. Go, Kyle.
First off, you're not going to break it tomorrow. Like, again, we just recorded our 251st first episode last week.
Congratulations.
And I'll tell you like this, I'm not where I want to be. You know what I mean? We're having a lot of fun, and we're doing a lot of amazing shit. We've talked to the Trisha Doris. We've had the Chris Bays. But it's been a lot to even be like, yo, Impact Wrestling, you got one of the hottest black. This man is coming down to the ring in Black Panther gear. He wants to talk to us more than he wants to talk to whoever the fuck is out there, but you can't even get the conversation with them. We're lucky that he said, fuck that, what time you want to talk on Wednesday or whatever, but it's gonna take a lot of time. But know that in that time that it takes you to do that, to get to where you want to go, you're gonna figure out who the fuck you are, you're gonna figure out your pod's voice, and you're gonna have a lot of fun doing it. Just make sure that you know you're gonna lose a lot of sleep. You could lose some friends, but you know, shouts to Queen, you know what I mean? Shouts to Janelle. You're gonna make a lot of friends as well, and you're gonna do a lot of cool shit like this. But it's gonna take a lot longer than what you might think it'll be. I love y'all too.
Kyle outside, y'all.
I'm outside. I'm not going back out. I'm not going back outside.
This is one and only.
This is it for y'all.
All right, Patricia, go.
I'm going to say just go for it. Literally, like, when you don't think a wrestler is going to say yes to be on your show, just ask. The worst thing you're going to hear is no or no response. So literally, just go for it. And that's my
diva. One piece of advice. Go.
Stay true to yourself. That's it. Yes. Stay true to yourself and what you stand for, and work very hard. Even if you're streaming to one person, to zero people, keep doing it, because your audience grows every day as long as you just stay consistent. Don't give up on the dream.
Mr. Rosado, one piece of advice. Go.
I'm going to say find something in your market that isn't being done. Find something in your market that isn't being covered. Find something that demographic, that niche, that something that nobody's paying attention to, but you know and you feel in your heart should be paid attention to, and push it. And like they all said before me, you're not always going to get there. And honestly, you're also going to realize how many of your friends are really there for you to support you, and how many of them are just there to be there, right? And you still got to push. Be true to yourself, but find what you really want to do or what you really want to broadcast out there, and don't bend to the haters. Don't bend to the haters.
There you go. Billy, one piece of advice. Go.
On some real shit, consider therapy.
Hold on, this is an important piece.
Y'all not hearing me. Consider therapy, because you want to embark on an industry that takes more than it gives, that the odds are already against you. And my brother, you a black man trying to get into this game. The mental warfare is worse than any injury I've ever had. I broke my entire right arm doing a leg drop off the top rope. That is nothing compared to the things I've been through, the mental stress that you go through in this business, whether it's the relationships, the grind, not seeing the numbers grow, feeling like no one gives a fuck. It's a lot of stuff. And therapy is a lot of different things for a lot of people. Maybe it's pack an extra joint if you smoke weed or whatever. Maybe it's talk to a therapist, or maybe it's have a friend that you made in wrestling that really gets it. You know what I mean? So that's my advice to you more than anything else. Make sure that you have a therapy system in place. And best of luck to you.
Last but not least, Nick, one piece of advice. Go.
Yo, join podcasts and don't be a wrestler. That's my advice. Yo, dead ass. Hey, be a podcaster. Don't be a wrestler. If you not already a wrestler, then don't do it, because it's the stupidest choice I ever made in my life. And I hate it, but I love it, because now I'm addicted to the shit. But it's a horrible addiction. I literally enjoy going, like, if I don't bump certain weeks, if I literally don't bang my back into a wall or something, my shit just randomly hurts from bumps that I've taken randomly. Like, when I walk and wake up some days, I creak and crack, and I don't know why. Like, I ref now, but I shouldn't feel like that. My body is so fucked up. Within my first month, I cracked a rib. I think my first rib, my first month, my first year in, I broke my toe and shit. I kept fucking wrestling because I'm like, oh, I love doing this shit. I don't give a fuck. It's stupid and it's the most horrible thing you could think of doing. If you can talk about it and you have people and you have an interest and you have a heart for it and you really want to keep talking, talk about it as much as you want, but don't join it. If you're not already there, don't waste your body.
Wait, Nick, Nick, what was your wrestling name?
I was Soul Train Nick Shane.
Woo! Shit! Y'all know I had to ask that real quick. We're going to wrap up. I need everyone real quick, plug yourselves. Because really, this is about you guys, not about me and what we do. Plug yourselves. So let them know, social media, if you have a show coming up, tell them where to be at. If you are doing a podcast, tell them where to listen to. Go.
You can find me on all social medias at Nick double underscore Shin. That's two underscores and then Shin like on your leg, S-H-I-N. If you can't spell that, I can't help you and you don't deserve to be following me. You could probably find me at whatever show is going around anywhere. I'm booked every Friday, Saturday, Sunday now until like...
Booked and busy.
Probably like February. So I'm going to be doing something. Y'all going to see me. If you follow me, I post up all the shows I'm on. Whenever you not got some new pro wrestling vibe coming out, I'm definitely going to be on that. We got our We Are Wrestling coming on. I'm definitely going to be on that. House of Glory next month, I'm definitely on that. Like, whenever the next Battle Club show
Shout out
is,
to House of Glory in the building.
Whenever the next Battle Club show is, I'm definitely
December 11th,
on that.
Though. December 11th, House of Glory, though.
Oh, yeah. December 11th. It's late.
Huh?
Oh, it's lit. Who's on it? Tell me.
Malachi Black versus
Aleister Black
Red.
And Buddy Murphy.
Yeah, I'm repping.
No.
Buddy Murphy.
Hold on. We don't give a fuck about Buddy Murphy. We're talking about Amazing Red, though.
Oh, my God.
King of the Underground. King of the Underground.
Anyway, facts. Billy, tell them where to find you and if you have any shows coming up.
All right. You can follow my wrestler page at the Billy Dixon on all the places. And you can follow my promotion, Pro Wrestling Vibe. That's PW Vibe on all the places. And do me a favor, June 17th, June 18th, and June 19th, I'm going to need y'all to pull up. Richfield Park, June 17th through 19th, pull up. I can't tell you why, but pull up.
I want to know why. Peter. Tell them where to find you and tell them We Are Wrestling.
I'm a boring motherfucker, so don't follow me, but do follow We Are Wrestling. We Are Wrestling 1 on Twitter, wrestling underscore we on Instagram. Our next show, It Was All a Dream, December the 10th, Friday, December the 10th, in Richfield Park, New Jersey.
Let's go.
Then we all out to Hog on December 11th, right? We out there. Follow We Are Wrestling, support our shit. We out here just trying to build. It is all a dream for us. And then we'll let y'all know where we going after that. If you decide to follow me, just know you just might see pictures of my dog or me and my girl. That's really about it.
How adorable. Diva, tell them where to find you, love.
NYC Demon Diva.
Oh, sorry.
So good.
I can't forget. You can follow the Your Sports Show podcast on all your podcast platforms. The Your Sports Show podcast.
You guys can find me at NYC Demon Diva across all platforms. My YouTube, I stream almost every day and talk professional wrestling. And you guys can also find me on the Wrestling Inc. podcast.
Yes.
Co-host.
So, there's my boss. I want the channel. My boss is here, you guys.
Damn, just Janelle. Knocked out. My bad.
Don't tell Janelle, him what I said earlier. I wasn't on the panel, but I was fairly represented up here. One half of those wrestling girls, myself and Queen PR. So you could definitely find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Those wrestling girls, make sure you join our discussion group. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube. And I feel like this is a perfect time to announce that we are celebrating 3 years.
Yeah.
On top of us celebrating 3 years, we're releasing a new episode. November 29th. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube. November 29th, we have a new episode on the one and only EST of WWE. Bianca Belair. So make sure sure y'all follow. And also, make sure, because they're about to wrap up, we about to do our raffle real quick. Y'all need to hit that 360 booth, because I already have one win. I'm looking for another one. Hit that 360 booth right now.
And well, there's more raffles.
And there's more raffles through the night.
Let's go. Last but not least, Cal, let them know where to find you and your boys who are in the building still probably talking shit at the bar.
Nah, keep talking shit, fellas.
They
keep
definitely
talking shit
at the bar. It's fine.
Nah, I'm at Cal on Twitter, at Black Wrestling on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. BlackWrestling.com is a website, but as always, you can find the Black Wrestling Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google. More importantly, YouTube.com/BlackWrestling. We got an episode with Sir Wilkins. He said he could crack. I'm not going to give you no more, but he talked all that shit on that podcast. You better subscribe and find that shit right the fuck now. I'm being the back, though. I'll talk to y'all.
Listen, yo, we all we got. And at the end of the day, all of us will support none of us. That's it.
Yo, you need a flyer. You need a flyer with the dope-ass graphic that we got. For We Are Wrestling, go see my beautiful girlfriend over here. She out here
helping me. Don't bag her. She's not available.
Over here. Yo, first row VIP.
Wrestling people are vicious.
First row VIPs get a fully autographed poster, by the way.
Wrestling niggas are vicious.
First row VIP.
Thank you. All right. I want to, on behalf of the Jabba Tears podcast, thank you guys so much, even though you're ignorant and was talking and I had to yell at y'all. I want to thank every single person on this panel. Because every single person I asked, I personally wanted them because I knew they had a lot to say and a lot of gems to drop. So make sure to support everybody. Right now, this is a building full of networking. Make sure to get everyone's social media. Make sure to follow every single person. Subscribe to their page. Make sure you support those that support you. Now, y'all can party, hardy, hardy. I want my shot. So let's go.
Let's go.
It's time to party.